Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, I go on a tirade about a meditation app that you guys can hear for yourself. We do the Rotten Tomatoes game as well. Coming up, first I'll tell you about Pure Talk. If your cellular plan is with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, you're paying way too much for the exact same coverage you'd get with Pure Talk. Look at the bill. Look at your bill. Look at your data usage. The average person uses less than 4 gigs a month, but the big carriers charge you for unlimited data. So you're paying more than you need to. Pure Talk saves an average person over $400 a year, unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data, all just $20 a month. So you want to get in on some of these savings? You go over your data usage, they do not charge you for it. So go to Pure Talk USA, puretalkusa.com. Put in the promo code Adam Podcast. Save 50% on your first month. puretalkusa.com. Promo code Adam Podcast. Pure Talk, simply smarter wireless.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, and brought to you by Bet Online. This is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, the star of The Opening Act, Jimmy O. Yang, and the author of We Promised You a Great Main Event, Bill Hanstock. With Gina Grad on news, Paul Bryan on sound effects, and Jeff Cesario with the sports, and now, life coach, who flies coach, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, no truer words were ever spoken. Get it on. Got to get on. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for sharing the show with someone you love. Right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Paul Bryan.
Podcaster for yelling.
Well, if you guys want to know the timeline, and I'll play something. It'll be good timing. Yeah, we're doing a podcast. Then Mike August and I are going to hop on a plane, and I think we're flying to Oakland. And then from Oakland, we're driving to where? 90 minutes away, Fresno?
Stockton.
Stockton. Yeah, sorry. Then we're going to Stockton. Mm. And then I'm going to do a show, and then we're going to go back to Oakland. Then we're going to get back on a Southwest flight, and then we're going to come back to LAX and not Burbank because somehow they canceled that flight. So,
why do you constantly feel the urge to brag about your life?
Yeah, we get it. You're a traveling man.
Ooh la la. I get to go to Stockton on Southwest.
I know.
You're putting me up at the courtyard by Marriott.
Getting a rental car. Yeah. I know it's weird. But simultaneously today, Paul Newman's 13th race car that I purchased is being dropped off at the other shop from Florida.
Rich man, poor man.
In one day.
It's an interesting thing. My feeling is I like things. I like expensive things. I like to do things. But when it comes to travel or accommodations or Southwest or airports or lines, I'm just a dude trying to save a buck, trying to get from one point to the next. And I got to tell you, Mike August is he's an enabler, because Mike August is literally made of leather and filled with sand. Like, you know, Mike's thing would be, you know, Mike's, because a lot of it's the person you travel with, right? Mm-hmm. Mike's thing is like, oh, well, we'd just do a show in Fresno. We'll leave L.A. at 4 p.m, and then 2 p.m, and then we'll do a couple of shows in Fresno, and then we'll just drive home that night. We'll get back by 7 a.m. You know, that's like how Mike works, and so then I would then become the prima donna in this group of going, I'm like, I don't want to fly Southwest 5 times a day, you know, and I go, well, what's wrong with Southwest? Like, he's just that dude. He'll eat anywhere. He'll travel anywhere. He'll stay anywhere. He'll fly in anything. And so if you're going to travel with Mike August, you're just going to go the cheapest flight. Yes, Brian.
No, I was going to say, he's like my frat buddy. He's like, dude, it's Sunday afternoon. We can be in Vegas and back by class Monday morning.
That's how Mike rolls. So Now, the flying thing reminded me of something because I was having difficulty closing my eyes on these flights, and I realized I need sleep music. I want sleep music. So I said to Dawson, you have the song. So I said to Matt, there it is. I said to Matt Fondelier a year ago, I hand him my phone and I said, just download sleep music, right? Just download sleep music. I want whatever that means, the classical sleep music, the greatest hit.
I want fucking cabbage.
You have odd demands.
So this is the song. Now, what is the decibel? What do you got it on as far as the volume goes, Dawson?
I thought I was squeaking brakes at Benjina's background.
Yeah, that the train never stopped.
I got the volume cranked right now to plus 5 dB.
Plus 5. All right, but here, to conduct this experiment, don't ever touch. Don't ever touch the potentiometer. No more. So I'm laying there, and I'm going, okay. Trying to sleep. Mike's eating.
Everything's as it should be.
Also, Mike has no reverence at all for the mask, so he gives you agina because he's always wearing it around his fucking waist, and so the people are always walking like, sir, sir, sir. You know when the person next to you is never following the rules? I used to have this with James Dixon. He'd smoke everywhere. You know, you ever been that?
I get that with when I'm saving a spot, you know what I mean, in line or somewhere, and the person's just off doing God knows what. I'm like, you should be here. Please be here. Get here soon. I'm not saving the spot any longer.
Right. Dixon will always light up a cigarette, like in a courtyard of a commercial building, and I will see the guard walking from across, like Adam, and he won't care. And I'm going like, he's going to. All right. Oh. You have not touched a volume, right?
It's heating up.
Haven't touched it.
What is the title of this playlist?
The playlist title is called Classical Sleep. It's the description is, common sense suggests and medical studies confirm classical music is one of the simplest remedies for troubled sleep. Whether you can't seem to settle that brain or just want some company as you drift off.
Hold on. Yell it.
The swell.
This playlist will guide you gently towards those delta waves.
All right. Dawson's not touching anything. Now, I'm now starting to toss and turn in my Southwest seat, right? I'm like, is there something going on with the volume? Like, what's... I didn't touch anything. There's no... I didn't heat anything up. At the beginning, I couldn't hear it. So I kept turning it up, like, is this playing? How many seconds are we into this 4 minutes on?
We're 2 minutes and 30 seconds into it.
Anyone now at the beginning, you can't physically hear it, so you have to keep riding the volume. I'm just gonna sit back for 21 seconds and let the volume do its talking. This is called All Human Beings by Max Richter.
Lumbuster.
Well, you know, just for fun, just jump to 30 seconds before the song's over.
It can't possibly get louder.
Oh, it gets louder. Sleeping, I'm fucking pissed. Like, I'm totally agitated at this point. Like, this is sleep music? All right. You can bring it down. Now, yeah, when you put
one
it...
One of the last things you want from sleep music is wildly varying volume levels?
Yes. Well, if you go to the very beginning of the song, Dawson, and you just sort of, I don't know, where do you play your music at on this show? 3 or 5 or...
I'm at minus 5 dB usually.
Are you at minus? Put it at minus 5 dB right now.
That's minus 5.
Okay. So here's where it starts.
Sounds like you have tinnitus.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, the beginning is confusion. Like, am I on a song? I have the volume on my phone is up to 7 or middle. I'm at mid-level. I'm staring at my phone, but I'm going, I'm not. And then, of course, it goes to, you know, cymbals clasping together and, you know, the 21-gun salute at the end. How would one, this is the first offering in the sleep, in their sleep package.
This opening salvo.
This is your first offer. This is the one you hit as you're trying to go to bed. And so you close your eyes. You're like, I don't think I can hear anything. So you turn it up. So now you turn it way up. And then it, of course, goes into what you heard. So not. This is why. All right, Dawson. Don't you guys wonder what we're doing as human beings sometimes? Like,
that was confusing.
Somebody compiled a set list, and the mission statement was, we want people to be able to relax and doze off. Maybe they're on an airplane. Maybe they're just in their car waiting for their kids' soccer practice. But they want to be able to close their eyes and go back. And the number one song you come up with is unrecognizable in the first half, and then blood squirting out of the eardrums in the second half. Is there a bigger mission unaccomplished than that?
Yeah, neither are relaxing.
And Dawson, I don't think we want to go there with Adam's devices, but isn't there volume leveling on like a lot of the Apple products, or can't this be, isn't this easily addressed by someone?
Somebody. I evidently can't easily address anything because...
No, but you think the manufacturer or the person putting this together would probably figure that out. It's for sleeping, for God's sake.
They do have that kind of stuff, Brian, but with such drastic changes like this, this isn't really common in a lot of music. That's for like pop music.
Say what?
Like, yeah. It's just...
You know what you need to stick with?
Here, I'll show you guys like, what the volume... Just okay. This is the volume of the song.
Oh, my God.
So,
it's pinging.
Wow. Yeah, so Adam, for the first 2 minutes, is the left side of this graph here, and then that's how much louder it gets.
Wow.
That's
it goes from flatline to Grandpa's had a massive heart attack on an EKG, and then back to he's now with Grandma. That's what this thing looks like. It looks like a flat line with a huge explosion of sound in it. And now he's resting with Nana.
That's a Rorschach test.
The actual picture is Stingray. Matt, a long tail, and then it really gets wide.
Matt just walked in. Matt, I just said to Matt, just load me up some sleep music so I can relax on the airplane, right? Couldn't get one song in.
I'm so sorry.
Couldn't do it. Well, it's not your fault. You just downloaded classical sleep, right?
Yeah, exactly, but... How could it go any other way?
It can't, but it seems to me there is a bevy of quiet classical songs out there to choose from. How did we end up with this one at the batting leadoff in the sleep department? If it was 9 songs in, I mean, the thing is like 18 songs. If it was song number 13, I could have fallen asleep and then been annoyed. All right. But so speaking of technology...
Can I just tell you what you have to stick with is the tried and true. Don't go searching for new music. Go Enya. She won't fail you. She's been doing this for 30 years. Just go with Enya.
No, I know. You got to dance with who's Enya.
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means. I was doing Tucker Carlson last week. It's always a little dubious with me and technology and the phone. And he's like, we're just going to Skype you in. And I said, all right, I'll Skype myself in. And I was doing a hit on his show, and I was doing it on my phone. And the way it looks on the phone is you see a picture of you in, I think, the upper right-hand screen. So you can kind of see if your collar's pulled funny or you're lean this way or lean that way. And everything is fine. I'm right in the middle of answering the question, and Dr. Drew's wife calls, and I didn't set my phone on no interruptions, whatever. So Dr. Drew's wife. Now, when you're doing this, you go away and it's all Dr. Drew's wife on the phone, and the phone is landscape style. And so then she calls, and there's nothing I can do but wait for her to stop calling. And I'm trying to answer the question, but I have no idea what this is looking like. I think in my world, on the screen behind Tucker is a thing that says Susan Pinsky on it. That's how Cro-Magnum I am. And then she hangs up, and I go, okay. And I try to proceed, And 3 seconds later, Dr. Drew calls. Oh. And now there's two calls in the course of 8 seconds. And they're both coming in and they're both going full ring length. And I got done with the Tucker hit and I called Drew. And I try to be careful not to be angry because Drew's just calling me. He doesn't know he's calling me. He doesn't know I'm doing anything. The part where they call back twice is a little rough.
A little aggressive.
And the part where you're on a big TV show and they're doing it. But he said, he gave a pretty good explanation. He said, I did call you the first time from my wife's phone. That was me. And you didn't pick up. But I figure you didn't pick up because it was her. So I hung up her phone and called you back on my phone.
Satisfying.
Yeah. Satisfying answer. Still means two back-to-back calls in a 3-minute segment, but okay.
At least there's an explanation.
At least there's an explanation there. I think...
Yeah, and I'm sure you didn't want to press end or stop call because you had the chance of just ruining this interview.
I'm not touching anything anymore. You have the video...
Yeah, so remember the first time Adam talked about this when Sean was texting Adam? Right.
The woman went on like a 5-minute rant or something?
Yeah, so here we'll just play you a little bit of it and we'll fast forward to it. So here's Adam on the Dana Show.
My oldest son is now at college and he made the remark to me and everything that I read about college that it was just like,
so he just tapped
and disappeared.
And now she's just kind of rolling with it. And now Adam is just audio the rest of the interview.
Wait,
no
when do
video.
I come in?
I don't. You don't. Well, you. We'll just hear you, but
probably right there because she was talking the whole time. But
a fat chick putting.
It felt like she was. She was.
To get that zipper up.
It felt like she was talking for a very long time, and I felt very helpless because I knew I was gone.
Well, and to add insult.
She didn't know it.
To add actual insult to injury, the last thing we see of you is your finger coming up to the screen like, boop, I'm done with this. I don't like you.
Oh, you're telling a story about your son? No, thank you. Adios. I'm checking out. Yeah, that was me attempting to clear my screen of a text. Oh, I cleared it all right. All right. Let's see. Jimmy O Yang, who we love, is going to be joining us soon. I wanted to, Maxipata, you can look and see if you can find out when John Campion came on Take a Knee. I should do a little tribute to John Campion or look up John Campion. Just a quick bio. He passed away recently and he deserves a mention for those of you who may not know who he is. I'll tell you now. Second, let me just take care of a little business here. Liquid IV. You want to feel your best? You want diet? Do you want to exercise? You want to hydrate? You want to take care of yourself? Flu season's around the corner. Winter's approaching. More important than ever to have a strong immune system. That's why I do Liquid IV. And by the way, believe you me, I got these things in my backpack right now to travel. Certainly on the road with Mike Gaugis, you want to rehydrate. They have a hydration multiplier plus immune support. And it's a little packet. You just sort of bust it open, put it in your bottle of water and shake it up and get it on, man. Cutting edge blend of vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc. Very important these days. And Wellmune as well. And naturally sourced beta glucan. Proven, by the way, to help strengthen your immune system. So. This stuff's real. This stuff's good. I use it. And why don't you? Liquid IV, right, Dawson?
Liquid IV's new hydration multiplier plus immune support is available at Walmart or order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code Adam at checkout. It's 25% off anything you order when you use promo code Adam at liquidiv.com. Get better hydration today at liquidiv.com, promo code Adam.
John Campion was a guy born poor in Ireland. And he came to the United States from Ireland with $26 in his pocket. And he got himself a job as a roadie. And I know this because I interviewed him on Take a Knee in July 2016. And I then maintained a correspondence with him. He's a car guy. And came here flat busted from Ireland. Got a job as a roadie. Traveled with a lot of bands as a roadie, like the Rolling Stones and Michael Jackson and guys like that, started to realize that these big bands putting on these big shows at Woodstock or these big venues outdoors needed power. You got to think about Woodstock's upstate New York, big cow field, right? Sure. I mean, you got to get power in there. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing a big outdoor show, you need big outdoor power. And so I think he started being in charge of like procuring your generators and getting generators and renting generators and maybe daisy chaining them to create enough power. But he was kind of finding that they didn't really make good generators for the Rolling Stones playing a big outdoor concert. And so he then started making those generators. And he started making those generators, and he started renting them to all these big events. And eventually, he then made them for villages in, like, Africa and stuff. These little impoverished villages that didn't have power, they needed his mobile units or big units. I don't think they're all mobile, but he would go into these impoverished places and construct these generators.
Did he have an engineering background or?
No, he was a poor Irish dude who basically, I don't know if he had an engineer. I think he learned on the job. I think doing all that roadie work and setting up all those generators and being the guy who was in charge of all that was a big deal. He learned on the job.
Wow.
And then he became very wealthy from doing that. And then he started collecting cars and got a very, very interesting, eclectic group of cars. For some reason, Martini as the sponsor and Lancia were the cars. You can see the pictures of the cars.
That looks so badass.
These are very expensive Le Mans history cars and Rallying. He's from Europe, so he liked Rallying as well. And he drove these cars and he showed these cars and he displayed the cars. And he was just one of those Irish dudes who liked a good time and have a beer and blah, blah, blah. And a couple of years ago, I heard he had leukemia. Sorry.
Don't cry!
having a rough morning.
Well, at least you get to go to Stockton.
Yeah, I know.
Got that to look forward to.
And then I heard he'd beat it, you know, and he came down here and he was with his woman and he was in good spirits and he dropped a lot of weight, but he was on the mend. And then I just found out a couple days back that he'd passed away October 2nd. He was 57 years of age. And he'll be missed.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's tough when the guys with the spirit go like that, you know.
We should re-air the Take a Knee episode.
Yeah,
you know, tribute.
We should. He was in the midst of he was going to sell all his cars and buy Irish F1 cars. F1 cars driven by Irish drivers and start like a scholarship for young Irish drivers who wanted to get into racing and all. He was just one of those guys. He was in the middle of everything all the time and had God knows what that guy could have done with another 30 years on this planet and God knows who he could have helped, because that's what he was trying to start these scholarships and help people and blah blah blah, and it's just sad. So John Campion gone at 57, and He's just one of those guys you're going to miss being around. Just big energy. Lived in Florida. Get him on the phone anytime. Talk cars. Whenever he'd come out here, he'd hang out at the shop with us. And he's going to be missed.
Did he find your collection cute?
I think Leno finds my collection cute. He found it fair to middling or something. Yeah, he had some. I don't even know what becomes of these cars now, but these are multi-million-dollar cars, a lot of them. And I don't know. Listen, kids, he did what he wanted to do. He came here, he learned, he built a business. And after he built the business, he started doing what he wanted to do because he built that business. And he liked cars, and he liked weird cars, but bitching cars.
I think a really important takeaway that we often miss is a completely non-linear life. Mm-hmm. He went in circles, back, forth, up, you know, upside down, sideways, and then got to where he wanted to be.
Yeah, we should replay that in his honor. Make a note there, Max Zapata. All right, let's see. Jimmy O. Yang, who always puts me in a better mood, is going to be on with us in a second. Maybe we'll play the Rotten Tomatoes game and then bring Jimmy O. You want to play with Jimmy?
Oh, yeah, let's bring Jimmy in and play with him. He'll be on in a couple minutes.
Jimmy is just such a great spirit, and he's got a new movie coming out.
It's really good.
Yeah, it is. And not only that, but it was written, directed by Steve Byrne, who's been in here a few times. Who's
yep.
just a whew, comedians for every three douchebags out there, there's a Steve Byrne. Just a regular dude. I guess the problem with comedians is they're not regular dudes, or they wouldn't be comedians. But yeah. I love a regular dude, and they do show up in the form of comedians every once in a while, and Steve Byrne is that guy. Nice. He is that dude. He's a sweetheart. He's a great filmmaker, and we'll probably have him back on the show soon too.
He's scheduled this month.
Oh yes, okay. Matt, something we hadn't got to is I found out the other day that Matt and his phone were having difficulties, and so Matt had to get hold of the Apple folks and see if he could troubleshoot his phone. And the exchange that Matt Fondelier, the Porcelain Punisher, had with the Apple guy or gal, I don't know, was I found quite remarkable. And so did Matt. But also in keeping with our times, you know, I keep saying, like, look at all these commercials with everything's good vibes now. Mm-hmm. Everything's all good vibes, and there's no more commercials. When I grew up, it was a lot of bottom line talk. It was like 1995, unlimited fried shrimp for $19.99. You know, it's like they're just like, here's the warranty on your car, rust proofing, transmission, power line, 100,000 miles. Like everything was like
cash back.
Numbers, yeah. Rebates, numbers. Kelly Blue Book says blah, 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 blah. And now it's all like, hey, everything's just good vibes. And so Matt's phone took a shit. And when your phone goes in this modern age, you want to get that thing up and running as fast as humanly possible, because
your life's kind of on pause.
Yes. You're basically out of it until you get that phone back. So, Matt, what happened?
Well, I thought maybe I could take it to an Apple store and have one of the Genius Bar guys help me fix it. But because of the lockdowns, pretty much all the Apple stores are closed right now. So my only method of getting this fixed was to do one of those chat things, which is always a wonderful experience. So we'll put up the conversation right now.
Oh,
I was very straightforward with them. They start out the chat by saying, "Hi there, I'm your friendly Apple agent. I hope you're doing fantastic today, and thank you for the contact."
And it's first off, how can you be doing fantastically? It's like talking to a fucking coroner, right? Like, I hope your family's having, oh, you're here to identify the deceased? Fantastic. Well, let's hope it's a thumbs up. Or maybe not. I don't know. I don't know protocol. Like, if you're reaching out to the friendly Apple tech guy, that means something has gone terribly wrong with your day thus far.
This is
one of the
Monday
many
morning.
Things that Idiocracy got right, which is, remember the greeter at, was it Home Depot or Costco? Yeah.
Welcome to Costco.
I love you.
Right.
Oh, this just gets better and better. Matt, please read this.
So I replied very matter-of-factly, my phone will not turn on past the Apple screen. I've tried to do the reset where you squeeze both sides of the phone. Still will not pass the initial Apple icon screen. This was her response, or his response. Aw, I'm super bummed to hear that's happened, and I promise we will do our best to crack this mystery together like the Scooby Gang.
Oh, Jesus.
Now, I wanted to throw my laptop at the wall.
Also, this could have been John Campion's grieving wife. You know what I mean? 56-year-old woman. Husband passed 48 hours ago in the hospital. Attacked by leukemia, and now she's got to get his fucking phone shut off or something. Like,
nothing left but $1 billion worth of cars.
That's right. I got to sit in my Lancia and cry. So She's sitting there. I mean, this doesn't have to be a child. This is, well, Matt's not a child. This is crazy, right? Oh, Scooby Gang.
Like, that is insane.
Matt, how old are you, Matt?
I just turned 36.
See, that's weird, because I'm wondering if, like, they, because, like, you know, when you connect, they obviously have your information, purchases, age information. Like, if you were like 26 or 23 or something, this would kind of make sense. But you're an adult male.
But well, this that's is just all it. Automated. This and isn't a human.
No, this was a human, Gina. This is an actual chat agent. Yeah. Yes, but they don't
I
know
that
who
was
I
just
am.
Their canned response.
Sadly, that was someone's instinct.
Oh no, that's worse.
It's weird, right?
I just figured that's all set by Apple. That's all just automated.
I had some of those thoughts too, but then I thought doing an automated standard template of Scooby snacks and how about a reach around?
If they offered a reach around, I mean, come on.
I'm just saying, that'd be a weird thing to put in the charter. You know what I mean? Like, here's going to be the response. Scooby-Doo reference, big awe.
It's all flow chart.
Yeah, like hug emoji. Like, that'd be a weird thing to standardize. This person was doing this.
Made some bold choices.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They went for it.
Yeah, I'm just saying, it is a new world order out there. And once again, I will read what I got from Hydro, my rowing machine company, when I got to 1 million meters, I think it is. Yeah, I got to 1 million meters. You can read it. 1 million meters. You're extraordinary. You're amazing. You're fantastic. You're marvelous and beyond. Wow.
Wow.
You've made it.
My day.
Must feel nice.
It's weird how many you can drop it down, Chris, if you want. So here's kind of the problem as I look at it. There's nothing wrong with good vibes. Good vibes are good. You should have those in your life with your kids and your family and stuff like that. The problem is there isn't an infinite amount of time. Like, if you're doing a TV commercial, it's 30 seconds. So we can talk about good vibes in the TV commercial, but we will miss mileage and warranty and other things like that. And so, unfortunately, good vibes, which are great at home with your dog and your kids and stuff, don't work as good for like commercial travel and stuff like that. You know what I mean? That's a little more precision, step back, doors close at this time, doors open, you know. And yes.
I'm not shitting on your point. It's funny because Southwest, their commercials and not their technology, obviously, but remember they're like bags fly free and they had like crying bag handlers and like they love LUV, you know, Southwest love, blah, blah, blah. They were on the vanguard of good vibes. Southwest was like a leader in that space.
And especially logo's a heart.
Yes.
That's right. They were famous for, you know, everyone taking viral videos of the hilarious stand up they do instead of the safety speech.
Yeah, we put an end to that. the reason that's over is because she did the fee fi fo fum or something. Oh. Or no, she did the eeny meeny miny mo, and somebody said that's racist, and that was the end of that, as far as I know. But yeah, their logo was built around a heart.
Right.
And that's probably 20 years old now. I don't know how long their heart has been. But the point is they got the good vibes early on. Anyway, we're in Good Vibesville. And that person is talking to Matt like he's a 7-year-old with a learning disability, right? Like, aw.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I'm super bummed.
Zoinks.
Maybe it's me. But does aw feel a little personal, like a little like we're blurring the lines, like if we were in the room together we'd be hugging or something, like it feels a little intimate to me.
Feels like a little new agey, a little like, you know, let's hug it out.
It's even blurring, it's getting a little out of the lane of problem solving and technology and a little into the we have a relationship here.
A little.
Like is what your mommy or your school teacher would say. All right.
Yeah, the next word should be sweetie.
Right. All right. We're waiting on Jimmy O Yang. We're gonna talk to him in a second. And we'll play Rotten Tomatoes?
Yeah.
All right. Why don't we just break and we'll come back with Jimmy O. Yang and Rotten Tomatoes right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace Man, Jim in Glendale, Arizona calling. Hey, just turned 50 a couple weeks ago. Did 69 with the wife Sunday afternoon. Just letting you know that, you know, there's hope for guys your age. You can still be doing this. So heard you talking about maybe you've done your last 69, but yeah, keep the wife in shape and you can still do it.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, I think once you pass the age of 49, your chances of performing a 69, if there was a chart.
Drops off precipitously. Precipitously.
Yeah, it's basically, it's the same chart they use on chances of making a NHL roster. Mm-hmm. After the age of 49. Like
it's not impossible. It's just really, really hard.
There's a couple of Gordie Howes out there in the world, but not many. And I bet you Gordie Howe, 69, well into his 80s.
He's the outlier for both categories.
I'm just saying, after the age of 49, if you could form a chart for that, it would follow the same one as making a Major League Baseball team and starting at shortstop. All right, Jimmy O. Yang is nowhere to be found, but that won't deter us because we're going to do our Rotten Tomatoes game, and then if he hops on, he'll hop on. So should we do a little Rotten Tomatoes?
Listen to that noise. It's a high falsetto. Some names are flicks, and the gang makes their picks, guessing if it's rotten or fresh.
If they guess it exactly, we'll get a bonus five.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it. Give me the Rotten Tomatoes game. Now it's time to play it.
So we got Halloween right around the corner. But rather than featuring your standard spooky Halloween movies, this week we're going to focus on movies that are not only scary, but also based on a true story.
Mm. Hey, can I say that fucking commercial where it's a Geico commercial and Casper the Friendly Ghost like sits in between the couple? Have you seen that one?
I think so. I think it's been around for a couple of years.
It has.
In a while, yeah.
It is so fucking unfunny and annoying. It's like living with Casper. And he's like, could I have some more candy corn? And it's like he's making a mess. Chomp, chomp, chomp. It's so ill-conceived. It's so weak. And it's making a second round now. It's coming back again. It drives me fucking insane, that commercial. It only drives me nuts because as a creative type, I think, how did this happen? Sorry, you can play it for 1 second. We're in a house.
I can't believe it.
What? That our new house is haunted by Casper the Friendly Ghost?
Hey, Jill. Hey, Kurt. Movies? I'll get snacks.
No, I can't believe how easy it was to save hundreds of dollars on our car insurance with Geico.
I got snacks. Ooh, I got popcorn. I got caramel corn. I got kettle corn. Right.
I mean, somebody wrote.
Am I crying too loud?
Believe it. Geico could
somebody
save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Yeah, they conceived this. Here's my question. This is a very Brian question to ask.
And I'm not saying
I abide by it. I'm just asking. When this originally aired, was this a cross promo with like a Casper movie?
This is so I don't think so. But because they never alluded to Casper now in theaters or whatever. But Adam, this is the nexus of our relationship because Christy and I have sat and commercials like this have popped up. When I say like this, I mean Geico commercials. And I have screamed at her and the TV. She has nothing to do with the commercials. But I'm like, someone wrote this in 20 minutes and got it rubber stamped and it went on the air the next week. These commercials are terrible. And they're bereft of like a comedic twist. It's like, all right, Casper's in the house. Casper's in the house. That's the end. There's no joke.
I agree. Although I have seen some that are funny, that aren't horrible. I just don't know what the vetting process is. Sorry. Casper Friendly Ghost movie came out 19 years
95.
ago.
But it 20, is the same Casper, 25. So they're repurposing him.
Yes. All right. Sorry. Let's play the game. Here we go.
All right. Let's begin with Jack the Ripper. The notorious London serial killer has never been identified. That's right. His name is not Jack. It might be Claude. Nor has his string of sex worker murders ever been solved, but leave it to Hollywood to try and wrap up some of the loose ends. Johnny Depp, Heather Graham, and Ian Holm star in 2001's From Hell.
From Hell.
They
this
did.
Is the Hughes Brothers.
Oh, it is.
I'm pretty sure. We can verify that, but I'm pretty sure this is a Hughes Brothers movie.
All right. Well, did you see it?
I did not. I didn't hear great things about it.
What?
I didn't.
This doesn't make the rounds.
I didn't hear great things either, and I wonder. I do, Brian. Do movies that attempt horror and fall short, are they punished? I feel like they do frown upon these movies, like the critics, when they don't land right.
Yeah, yeah. The ones that really land well are the ones that are either super scary or have like a ironic take, you know what I mean? Like Cabin in the Woods.
Right.
Right.
Great movie.
All right. So this has to be, should be rotten. On the other hand, sometimes the Brothers Tenen. All right.
Does it get a point or two for being historical?
Yeah, like in the period in old London town.
Well, yeah, but also being based on a true story.
Yeah. I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to say I have no idea, and for that reason, I'll just go 50% straight up.
I went pretty low at 37.
I thought I was going, being very generous, 41.
From Hell got a much higher score than it deserves. It is rotten at 57%.
Ooh.
Well, there you go. That's an example of the kind of movie we'd have no goddamn idea.
Now, while most serial killers are male, Eileen Wuornos is the rare exception. In a way, she was the anti-Jack the Ripper. Her name might have been Claudette. A sex worker herself, ultimately killing 7 of her male clients before her arrest and eventual execution. In a strange turn of casting, the gorgeous Charlize Theron gained 30 pounds, shaved her eyebrows, and spent many hours in the makeup chair to look as much like the real person as possible, co-starring Christina Ricci. From 2003, Monster.
Didn't she win for this?
Yeah. Best actress, yeah.
Yeah. I know sex workers work oftentimes for tips, you know?
Jesus Christ.
I mean tips. I mean, you got to leave a nice tip, is what I'm saying. And you killing me at the end of our sexual encounter is going to definitely affect that.
It's going to factor in.
Or, actually, you can have all the money, actually, if you kill me. Maybe that was the thinking. I didn't see this movie. I felt like I was just going to be depressed, and I didn't want to.
What about the poster would give you that idea?
Yeah, I know. And it's funny, like Charlize Theron gains 30 pounds, and she's a size 4 now.
Yeah, and, big whoop. I did that over the summer.
Yeah, and also, I know, hardly killed any Johns.
Almost and none.
That's what I think that's what I said. Doesn't it look fat? Okay, look, this is a critic. They love this. Anytime a hot chick can make herself ugly, that's always some good points there. There's no doubt this has got to be high. This is critically, it's got to be high. Now, is it 96 or is it 79 with a great performance? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just reading the critics on this one, and I'm going to say 92.
Yeah, Charlize, my favorite African-American actress. I'm going to give it an 88.
That's right, 89.
Monster is certified fresh at 81%.
Ooh. Wow, and the people have it at 81. Very, very rare that the audience scores dead nuts on.
It's true. Back in 1998, two American tourists were accidentally left behind in shark-infested waters near the Great Barrier Reef, never to be seen again. This found footage documentary horror film attempts to explain what may have happened to them. 2003's Open Water.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, God. This is a great trailer. I never saw the movie.
I did.
I think I saw it on TV. And it's almost like Blair Witch in that it's very irritating. Like, you're just like, oh, these poor guys. And then it gets a little terrifying.
Is it found? Is this a found footage format? I don't recall that.
Yes.
I don't remember being POV. Really?
So everything that's filmed.
Who's got the camera?
Octopus? I don't know.
I don't remember that.
Is it found? You can figure it out. Matt says yes.
Yeah, it's all nauseating shaky cameras.
It's all them like going, oh, day number three.
Yeah.
Pretty
sure.
Yeah, I saw it in the theater. Wow. It's a good movie. I don't know that it's a great movie, but it's a good movie. And does the chick have a foreign accent? I'll give a couple of points for a foreign accent. All right. Let's say they enjoyed it. There's nothing for the critics to hate about this movie. This is the kind of movie where they all could have given it a 65 or a 75, if that's the way they did it. It could all be like, you know, a marginal thumbs up. I'm going to say they all liked it at 88.
Oh, wow.
A little lower, 73.
I just don't have a good feeling about this. I said barely fresh 63.
Sorry, Adam and Brian, can you repeat your scores? I was figuring out if it was found footage or not.
88.
73.
88 and 73, and it is found footage.
All right. Well, there you go.
Open water is fresh. Fresh water. 71%.
Oh, wow.
I needed that.
I went way too high. And the audience at 33.
Really?
Not fans.
Not a fan. All right.
Surprising.
Allegedly, the most haunted house in the world sits on a property 50 miles south of San Francisco. The Winchester Mystery House took decades to build. It's 7 stories tall and contains hundreds of rooms along with staircases leading to nowhere. A couple years ago, they made a movie about it, starring Helen Mirren as an aging Sarah Winchester, haunted by ghosts and slowly going mad. In 2018, Winchester.
I remember the trailer. So at least I remember this movie existing, but I certainly didn't see it.
It just seemed like
my genre.
It seemed like the kind of movie that had been. It seemed like the kind of script that had been kicking around for
floating
a long time.
Floating around, yeah.
I took the tour. Not good.
Nonplussed.
No, and by the way, it wasn't one of those things. Like, it wasn't $11. It was like $31 to take this tour. And it was nothing. The furniture was all gone. It's just a bunch of shaky rooms. And there's not much to it. It seemed like just a crazy woman had a house. And she kept adding on to the house, like a crazy woman who gets a cat and then gets more cats. That's basically what it was. I don't know why. The Winchester gun thing kind of gave it that thing. And then we gave it a title and it became something. But I don't know that there was much to it.
Do you want to hear the trailer?
Yeah, the trailer.
It's the biggest tourist trap in American history. People pay up to $50 to walk through it.
It's a gargantuan 7-storied structure with no apparent rhyme or reason.
The Winchester Mystery House.
Each maze of halls more confusing than the next.
But in the down economy, the business is in the red.
It was built on the orders of a grieving widow.
So Lionsgate hired Academy Award winner Helen Mirren.
Do you believe in ghosts, Doctor?
To try and get more of your money. Leonard Maltin exclaims, just like the goddamn house, they open doors in this movie that don't go anywhere. Winchester.
I can feel it.
The stupid house became a stupid movie.
I'll be honest, I could do a better sell job.
Well done.
Nice job, Dawson. All right. I'm behind. I got to catch you up. I got to go for broke, high or low, and I'm going low at 26.
Oh, my. I went lower. I think it's a close game. I said 22.
Wow. I was afraid to go that low. I said 38.
Not low enough. Winchester is rotten at 13.
Oh, wow. Damn it. I've just been consistent. Even at 26, I'm consistently high.
You doubled up.
I know. Man, people had it 32. There you go. It's been a while since one of us has dropped dead nuts on one of these
long
things.
Time.
All right.
Before we move on to the next one, I do have an update on open water, because if Adam asked the same question, is it found footage? But is it found footage? You got to look it up.
Mm. Well, you do.
So here's the deal.
There are three questions in. Yes.
Here's the deal. There is an exterior cameraman. It's not the two characters filming each other. However, in the plot of the movie, spoiler alert, at the end of the movie, they cut open a shark. They take a video camera out of the shark, and that footage is supposedly the footage you've just seen.
Oh.
So it is, quote unquote, found footage, but it is not in the same style like a Blair Witch.
You can't call that found footage. Somebody found
Well, I remember watching the movie, and there were shots of like the couple floating in the sea, and there's no selfie stick that long.
And it's all sort of water level, but it's two of them in the same shot.
If you guys need me, I'll be drowning in the Pacific.
All right. Well, Matt, you've learned a very, very valuable lesson. Whenever I get to the third, are you sure? It's always time to look it up.
That's what I did.
All right. Good job. Thank you. All right. Here we go. Championship rounds.
Our final film features Faye Dunaway's legendary performance as a wire hanger wielding monster in this campy classic about the fall of a Hollywood star, Joan Crawford. Based on the controversial biography written by Joan's adopted daughter, the movie chronicles her harrowing abuse and manipulation at the hands of the mother that took her and her brother in as orphans from 1981. Mommy dearest.
We should see that no more hangers scene. No wire hangers.
I have seen this movie so many times. That's not even the most terrifying part of the movie.
No, it's most iconic, though.
It's just this is one big sound drop, this movie. But I don't know if it was a good movie or not. I just know there's all these quotable scenes. So was this a celebrated movie, or was it just a, you know, I want these goddamn snakes off this goddamn airplane? Like, was it that, or was it a real movie?
Here's the question. Are you asking the gays, or are you asking everybody?
Everyone has seen this as gay, because... Mm. If you weren't gay when you walked into the theater,
that turn you.
Look it up. Google that shit. If you stayed for the whole movie, you were by minute 41. But if you actually stayed for the whole movie, yes, you turn gay.
Okay.
And if you hung out afterward and discussed it, you were a bottom.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys know that.
Mm-mm.
Oh, okay. Well, now you know.
News to me.
So. Everyone has been converted to gay in this movie, and I need to make up some points. So this is either one of those iconic, sometimes these iconic movies are, you're like, oh, it's 44? What? I thought this was a big movie that everyone talked about and stuff. It's like, yeah, but the critics didn't really like it.
Yeah, this is a very, very tough one. I mean, it was made in 1980. It's big.
It's a campy classic.
Exactly.
It's iconic. I mean, everyone knows the wire hangers thing.
I'm going for broke. I'm going low 38.
I play this game long enough to know that when Adam Carolla throws out a score, I'll just off the top of his head. Go with it. 44.
All right.
All right. I went, you know, today is National Coming Out Day. I went with my heart. It's a great movie. Very quotable. Seen many drag queens do many performances.
Not when they walked in.
I said 80.
There were happily married men when they walked into that theater with children's mortgage, a loving, adoring wife. And when they walked out, they went drag queen. All right, here we go.
They minced out.
That's right.
Mommy Dearest is rotten.
Oh!
At 49.
Oh, woo! I just missed.
That's a travesty.
You're right. My hypothetical numbers are within a 4% margin of error almost every time. The ones I throw out are very accurate, and the ones I spit out are not.
All right. I'm out.
Gina Grad, congratulations. Yeah. You made the podium.
But what did I have before, Mommy Dearest?
Well, before the game, what
still
I have.
A losing number.
What I have before we started playing. Like earlier in the day, I'm going to take Gina's logic and take it a step further. Before I was born,
before I was read a movie, I was at zero.
That's right.
Gina Grad with an 88.
Damn it.
Bald Brian coming in at 43. Adam Carolla, congratulations. Yeah. Second place, 59.
Woo! We're back. Tough.
Brian's back.
It's the Rotten Tomatoes game. You know how we do it.
I don't think I'd seen, Dawson, run down the list of movies real quick. I don't think I'd seen any of those.
It's not always a help. Brian, you're, what, you have a minus 16 game?
I'll go get the fucking the t-shirt I printed up. Minus 16.
We had From Hell, Monster, Open Water, Winchester, and Mommy Dearest.
Didn't see a single one.
Well, I saw one and knew enough to know it was filmed on a jib. An aquarium.
I saw From Hell, and that movie was From Hell.
Minus 16.
It'll stand forever.
I'm glad, as you said, thank you very much. That's very thoughtful and flattering. Someone, a couple people on Twitter were taking the piss out of me, like, oh, yeah, but those are all good movies. Those are easy to guess. Like, okay, even if they're like between 85 and 100, you still have to nail four of them. Like, that the odds of that are crazy.
Yeah, we still had a control group of Adam and Gina who didn't.
Right.
So we know that it is not usual.
All right, let me hit Bet Online. Jimmy O. Yang's on. We'll break through the news and bring Jimmy on with the news.
Yeah.
All right. Bet Online. Football's back. It's in full swing. MLB playoffs are out there as well. You might not be at a game. You might not be able to go to a game, but you can still get in on all the action at Bet Online. This Sunday, got some good games coming up. Ravens at Eagles, Texans at Titans, Rams at 49ers, Browns at Steelers, and Packers at Buccaneers. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads and totals to props. You get in on season opening bonuses and wager on wins and division championship futures. Just head to Bet Online today. Take advantage of all our great sign up bonuses. Visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. And don't forget promo code Podcast One for your free sign up bonus. Do it today. That's betonline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, Jimmy O. Yang is with us. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do the news with Jimmy right after this.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.